All right, listen, we're going to jump on in here. So Lawfare Nowhere, that's the name of the first dipper. Coming up top of the hour, we'll have former U.S. Attorney Jay Town on with us. But it's a great piece by Jonathan Turley, and I pulled this one from the Hill. It came out yesterday. He said, Donald Trump just won the greatest jury verdict in American history. What a great analogy. Yes, he did. And one of the key points I would say on here is that these multitude of Lawfare cases, and by the way, it's not just the big ones that we know about. We had two from Jack Smith as a special counsel appointed by Merrick Garland to investigate the classified documents case in Florida courts, federal courts, and the January 6th inciting of violence case in Washington, D.C., and those were both with Jack Smith heading up the investigations and the potential prosecution of the cases. And then we had Fannie Willis in Georgia, which was a debacle. It turned into a complete reality show. I mean, my gosh, has there ever been a more flawed prosecutor? Well, there's also Alvin Bragg up in New York, who was able to put Trump on trial for 32 felony counts, is what they'd like to say. You know what those 32 felony counts are? They were the exact same thing, but he used every check that was written as a separate felony count. So I got him on 34 felony counts. No, you got him on 34 checks. It was the same crime, allegedly, and it really wasn't. It is so appealable that it's going that way. We're going to talk about that case more in just a minute. And then you had the civil cases. Remember those? Being sued for alleged defamation because a woman who claimed that Trump raped her 45 years ago showed up and said, well, he did, now he's defamed me, and I want justice. And she got a multi-million dollar verdict. And then you had Letitia James, the Attorney General of the state of New York, who decided that all the rest of it wasn't enough. Now she wanted to attack his business. So they tried to bankrupt him by claiming that he had in some way misreported his revenue. And yet he paid all his taxes, and any loans he had were all paid back in full. So what are we doing? There's never been a case that I can think of like this where they're able to prosecute the case on a lack of damages. But they did, and that's still out there. And then you had, by the way, multitudes of cases in which the Trump campaign had to file suit in order to preserve their right to be on the ballot in places like Colorado and Maine. I mean, it got to the point that it was ludicrous. He has toured the courtrooms of the United States almost as much as he has done rallies. Think about that. I don't think anybody else in the world could have stood up to it as much as he did, with the exception of somebody like an Elon Musk or a Jeff Bezos, just on the cost alone. He literally had to get in his personal jet airliner and fly to New York for trial, and then fly back to Florida for trial, and then fly to Atlanta for trial, and then fly out to Colorado to do a rally, and then fly to Wisconsin for a rally, and then fly back to New York for another day of trial. At times, he would be in multi-states in one day. But some of those states were because he was on trial. It was unbelievable, and everybody could see through it. Well, Jonathan Turley, who is a great legal mind, I love his commentary. It's usually very incisive. Jonathan Turley said, these cases... these cases are now the legal version of the Flying Dutchman. They are ships destined to sail endlessly but never make it to port. What does that mean? Well, he says, well, first of all, the jury verdict that the Americans gave him at the polls, that's the real verdict right there. The real verdict was the 2024 election is going to be the biggest political and cultural shift and perhaps a legal shift at the same time. It was mainstream media versus new media, he says. It was Rogan versus Oprah. It was the establishment versus a disassociated electorate. But he also says that every time they put him on trial, Trump went up in the polls. Why? Because people could see through it, and people did not appreciate it. They didn't like it at all. So now what happens? Where's it going to go? Well, Jack Smith, the special prosecutor, he already had his backside handed to him in the Florida court by the judge who dismissed the prosecution of the classified documents case. So he's appealed that. But Jack Smith just became a lame duck. He was appointed by Merrick Garland. His appointment goes away the day that Merrick Garland leaves office. Just saying. He's a nothing burger now. He's not going to get his case prosecuted before then. The judge in his Washington, D.C. case, is, what's her last name, Chutkan? Judge Chutkan. She's been very motivated, very active in pushing the election interference case forward. But now we wait to see whether or not, under the federal rules of immunity and other things that have come out of the Supreme Court, if she's going to feel compelled now to have to order dismissal. Then you got Alvin Bragg up in New York. What's going to happen with his case? Well, it's scheduled to go to November 26th, just in what, 3 weeks? In 3 weeks-ish, Trump is supposed to go to be sentenced. What people are forgetting, though, is that before he can do the sentencing, the judge first has to have a hearing on the motion for the Supreme Court decision on presidential immunity to be considered. The judge is now looking at a sitting president, or a soon-to-be sitting president. He's now looking at someone who just won overwhelmingly. He's now looking at someone who the dynamic has changed for, but does he really believe the crimes were what they were? The way out of this for Judge Mershon is to recognize the Supreme Court of the United States just made his entire ruling reversible and go ahead and just take care of that case with the immunity question. Whether he will or not, I don't know. What I do know is this: Trump's not going to jail. Because what will happen is, in all sincerity, what will happen is Judge Mershon, let's say Judge Mershon rules in favor of Trump on the immunity. The case is over. The verdict's thrown out. If he rules against Trump on the immunity, before they even get to sentencing, they immediately notify the court, then we are appealing your immunity ruling, and that goes on appeal, and Trump is in office before any sentencing can occur. I'm just saying, it's that thing's got legs. It's not done yet. And then there's the roaring dumpster fire of Fannie Willis in Georgia. What's going to happen with that one? Well, don't forget, the Georgia Appeals Court at the state level is still looking at whether or not District Attorney Fannie Willis can even continue the case because she lied under oath about her relationship to her fellow prosecutor. If they're forced off the case, then a new prosecutor has to be assigned. And I'm going to tell you right now, ain't nobody wants that case. Ain't nobody wants none of Fannie's stuff. So I would imagine that case is going away. Then there's the E. Jean Carroll defamation case. It's going to continue to be on appeal for a while. That's going to go on way past the election time frame. Y'all, I'm just telling you, the lawfare. The question is, will there be anything statesmanlike that is done regarding these things? Everyone believes that there's a strong possibility that Trump could come into office and pardon Hunter Biden if his daddy hadn't already done it. Is it possible that Joe Biden, in an effort to be the unifier that he said he would be, that Joe Biden may want to pardon President Trump on the federal crimes or the federal charges? Just pardon him outright. And then Trump come into office and pardon his son. And at the same time, Kathy Hochul and governor of New York look at the situation going on with the Judge Mershon case and say, you know what, I am going to pardon Trump at the state level since Joe Biden did it at the federal level. It's possible. I don't know that they have that level of introspection. I don't know that they have that ability to do things that are that magnanimous or that statesmanlike. But it could be the best unifier that we've seen. It can also signal the end of lawfare if they'll do that. Because lawfare has to go away. It absolutely has to go away. All right, there's a long diatribe on this. So I'm going to take a break right now. I recognize that I had a caller on the line, but I'm going to have to get him right after the break. So why don't you let him know that we'll come right back and get him on. But the bottom line is this, you guys. Lawfare is nowhere right now. Lawfare is nowhere. And the greatest jury verdict that the Trump family could have ever hoped for was the voters. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. All right, he hung on during the break, and I appreciate his time, so let me not leave him waiting any longer. Wolverine Dan's on line one. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Phil, are you playing that Cat Scratch Fever for me?
I am. The Motor City Madman, just for you, Wolverine Dan.
I love that. I love Motor City Man, and I love you more than him. I tell you what, my man. I tell you what, man. Listen, let's figure this out real quick.
All right.
You know, they came at our future president with everything, okay?
Yeah.
They've done what they can do. But I believe our president, that's going to be happening, and he's right now working on how he's making his moves like a chess game, and it's going to improve the life for everybody in this country. Everybody, even Democrats. My God, that's why I voted for the man. It has nothing to do with him being persecuted. For me, it's about what he did last time he was president. Now, with that said, I think things should be dropped. For instance, all the arrows and whatnot, the attorneys, all the issues that we have, the president, prior president, now that he's no longer president. The thing is, and his son has a lot of issues, and, you know, he's got his thing with the breaking laws
the
and
IRS,
whatnot.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is this. You know what? Why don't we just drop the stuff with President Trump? Well, we know what that was. It doesn't really matter. Let's just drop that. And then, you know what? Let's just let Hunter go where he needs to go to and move on. Because, you know what? To me, those are small things. The bigger picture, Phil, is to hit the streets running. And that means let's get what's best for this country and do the right thing for this country so we all could benefit, okay? Negativity isn't part of who I am. I don't like negativity. I want positivity, meaning moving forward with this country and doing what's right and what's best for this country. Let's hit the streets running.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I wonder, you know, that what you're asking for from the Democrats is a statesmanlike view. You're asking for them to put aside politics and partisanship and become a statesman. And the question is going to be, was this enough of a lesson? Because this was a smackdown. I mean, they lost the political, they lost the electoral and the popular vote. We swept their blue wall, all of it. So was there enough of a lesson learned here for them to suddenly become statesmen? I don't know.
Well, I don't know either, but I do know this. I know what's right and I know what's wrong. And what is right is let's move on, push all that stuff to the side. It's done with. Let's move forward for the better behalf of the people that live in this country, and I mean everyone, not just the Republicans, everyone.
Yeah. Yep. Good call, man. Thanks for hanging on during the break. I appreciate you.
All right. See you.
See you, man. You know, and the question, and to his point, Wolverine Dan nailed it. Can we set this stuff aside? Can we? I mean, you would hope so. And so I've got a piece here that came out of Fox, came out yesterday, and it asked the question that I've been asking is will the Trump victory be the end of lawfare? Because Democrats weaponized the legal system. And by the way, it's not just against Trump. I mean, right now, what's happening with Rudy Giuliani should make people sick. Absolutely make people sick. And then we've also got things that have happened like the January Sixers. There's every reason to believe that Trump's going to take office, and one of his first steps is going to be to pardon all of the people or commute the sentences of all the people who have been indicted or convicted on the January 6th events. And he should, because their lives have been wiped out and the due process have been thrown out. Are the Democrats going to learn their lesson? I don't know. This piece right here asks that question. Will Democrats learn their lawfare lesson? And this was written by who? Andrew McCarthy wrote this one. Great piece. He talks through some of the things I've already talked about, but then he ends with this. He says, one would hope the lesson Democrats take from Trump's sweeping victory is that lawfare is un-American. Voters were clearly disturbed by the Democrats' practice of using law enforcement and judicial processes as a weapon against their adversaries. Democrats would do well to assimilate that lesson and to avoid pressing ahead with lawfare after Americans returned Trump to the White House despite the allegations. And I completely agree. I mean, my gosh, it's un-American. We say that we stand for the rule of law, not the abuse of law. We say that we stand for due process, not just any process. We say that we have a right to the freedom of speech, the freedom of expression, the freedom of assembly, all these things. And yet, God, it's been so clouded up in the last few years. Andrew McCarthy went on to say this. He said, same thing I kind of said. He said, President Biden could provide a powerful example of statesmanship. He could finally, on the cusp of leaving office, act like a unifying president by pardoning his predecessor and successor. He said it would certainly make it easier for the nation to accept the president's inevitable pardon of his son, Hunter. And then Kathy Hochul could do the same thing at the state level. And then he ends by saying, lawfare was terrible for the country, and the resounding win that Americans have given Trump ought to be its death knell. Yes, yes, it should. We're going to talk about a few of these in a moment with our friend Jay Towne, who's going to call in. Give us the perspective. Jay has been a prosecutor for many moons. He's also a former U.S. attorney appointed under the Trump administration. I look forward to seeing whether he's going to go back into play again. But then when we end this whole section, I got to tell you, there's one partisan who has already made clear that she intends to go for everything she can, and that's the Trump-hating New York Attorney General Letitia James, who's already said that she intends to go to war with the new president. Can you believe that? I can. I mean, she's a hater. You know what was so righteous, though? I don't know if y'all saw it, but Letitia James, the I'm going to get Trump person who ran on that very thing when she ran for office, had to sit behind him at the Al Smith Catholic dinner and listen to him enjoy himself at the microphone. It was righteous. All right, coming up next, Jay Towne, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, we're in Dipper number one. I've been calling it Lawfare Nowhere because, you know, as Jonathan Turley said, it appears that most of the cases against Trump have become the legal versions of the Flying Dutchman, sailing forever, never getting to port. But is that true in every case? And I thought, you know, we can read other people's opinions. I can tell you what I think as a civil litigator at my level, but I thought I'd bring somebody in who has been on the show many times and tends to know what he's talking about, especially when it comes to federal prosecution. Jay Towne is a former U.S. attorney who was appointed during the last Trump administration. He's got his degree from Notre Dame, his law degree from Seton Hall. He served for a number of years as a Marine Corps officer, and he is now in private practice, and he's on the line as we speak. Jay Towne, how you doing?
I am wonderful. Semper Fidelis on this November 7th, Thursday. I'm 2 days into a holiday, Phil. It's all going to work out.
Semper Fi to you. Hey, by the way, you've got a Marine going into the vice presidency. How you feel about that?
You know, I'll tell you this, I've talked to lots of folks that know Senator Vance. Vice President-elect Vance, and they all spoke very highly of him. But, you know, I've never had a chance to sit and have any meaningful time with the guy. And there's very few people that are impressive so quickly, at least at my age. And it's not because I've met so many impressive people. It just might be that I'm not impressed by much. But he was impressive. From the moment he stepped on stage at the RNC till 2 seconds ago, and now again, just now. I mean, the guy's impressive, and the country's lucky to have him at the right hand of President Trump.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a great team. I look forward to the cabinet and see where we go from there. Hey, let me ask you something else that was impressive, but for all the wrong reasons, was the level of lawfare against Donald Trump and anybody who surrounded him. And you and I have talked about that in the past, but now the big questions are, where do they all go from here? You got state law cases in Georgia and in New York. You've got the New York Attorney General who says she's still going to continue to fight. You got federal cases. It's amazing to me. What are your thoughts on it?
Well, just to set up the sort of the four prosecutions of Trump, there's sentencing scheduled currently for the week after next, I believe. For President Trump in New York. It looks like that might not happen. At least we're hearing through reporting anyway that Judge Mershon is considering just dropping the case before sentencing. It's what he should do anyway because it was a garbage prosecution with garbage evidence, and it's going to get overturned if he does sentence Trump on appeal, and then Trump won't go to jail if he is sentenced to jail. Because he can immediately post an appellate bond and let that play out as it will. The case in Atlanta and Fulton County is a mess. Fannie Willis is going to be kicked off of that. It's going to go to another DA inside of Georgia. That DA is going to rightfully look at the case and say, all right, that's dismissed. Mar-a-Lago was dismissed by Judge Cannon. There's no time for Jack Smith to revitalize that case in time to by January 20th. That appeal will be withdrawn by the next DOJ. So that case is dead. So the only case that's really going on right now is the January 6th case in D.C. Looks like they are going to be shuttering that case here very shortly. So you talk about just putting up a great legal strategy and being just a man about it all with alligator blood in your veins. That's Donald Trump. And if Tish James wants to threaten the new federal government, the new administration with don't take our money away or I'll sue you, have at it. You know, like you're gonna threaten this guy with, you know, a lawsuit. That's all these people have done to him, you know? So, you know, okay, Tish, stand by, though, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I look at it and think that's called not reading the room. You know what I'm saying? You misread the jury there, lady.
You're threatening Mike Tyson with a fist fight, you know? It's like, okay, yeah, well, where do you want it? You want to do it now? You want to go outside? Like, where are we going to break less stuff? You know, I mean, come on.
Well, I look at it, and there's a huge question right now, brother. What do you think? I mean, because Jonathan Turley called this election the greatest jury verdict that could have ever been written, and I look at it and wonder, is it possible? Is it conceivable that the left has decided that lawfare is really not the way to go? And do you think they'll learn their lesson from this and recognize that lawfare is not American?
You know, I don't know. That's a really good question because Democrats are still, I mean, do they learn their lesson? I don't know. I mean, they're still talking about misogyny and racism being the reason why Trump was elected the second time, even though he made gains with women and people of color.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it must be that a person of color voted for Trump because they're racist. Right. What's the other explanation? Right. That, I mean, Kamala Harris should write a book, How to Spend $1 billion in 90 days and still have people think I'm awful. Right. So, I mean, it's just it is. I don't know if they can learn this lesson. And so I will say this, and that's because I've done it my entire adult life. It's all I've ever been good at, which is putting bad guys away and making sure that we follow the law. Law was always sort of math to me. Guy did A, meant to do B, equals guilty. And so that's how I approached it. It had nothing to do with his background or financial situation or connections or whatever. And so I do hope and I do think this next Department of Justice is not going to engage in lawfare. They're not going to engage all right, we're going to prosecute our enemies now. And then it's just a back and forth forever. There's some people that need to be prosecuted. Don't get me wrong. And I'm not going to name those names. This isn't the right place for that. But I mean, there's some people that have broken the law and they're going to be held accountable. But that's the way it should be anyway.
Yeah.
But you can also expect that Biden's pardon sheet is going to look like, my daughter's phone bill.
Lots of contacts is what you're saying. Lots of contacts.
Yep.
Well, speaking of which, one of those mystery questions out there, and you can just speculate with me openly. I mean, that's all we're doing is spitballing legally here. But do you see pardons coming for Trump? Do you see pardons coming for Hunter Biden? And do you see pardons coming for Trump from the state level as well, by the way?
I don't see any prosecutions at the state level surviving, so I don't know that. I mean, certainly Governor Hochul's not going to pardon Donald Trump. Governor Kemp could. I mean, but that would be sort of if they decided to take it back to Fulton County and give it back to Fannie Willis, Governor Kemp could say, all right, this is over with, you know, and put an end to it. He could have honestly done that already. But that could happen. As far as Biden pardoning Trump, man, I doubt it. Remember, he's Hitler. You don't pardon Hitler, right? I mean, that's just
well, they're
not
having lunch together.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Well, you don't go to lunch with Hitler either, right? I mean, you can't take these people seriously. And the fear-mongering, you know, when people are staring at, and you've heard this, and I know you've talked about it, but when people are staring at their bills and deciding which ones to pay or which ones that they can only pay the minimum on so that they can keep the lights on or keep a credit card open or whatever it is, just so that they have enough money to get back and forth to work. And they're putting $5. I mean, when's the last time you put $5 in your gas tank? Some people are living that way.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's just, they just need to, you know, and they're not going on trips. These aren't wasteful people. They're honest people that are just working. When those people, when you're staring at them and you're saying, "He's Hitler, vote for me," that doesn't help my $5 gas situation, man. It doesn't. I mean, if gas was $1 a gallon or $2 a gallon, I'd say, okay, fine. If you're going to make it $2 a gallon, I'm listening. That's not what they're promising. They're saying, hey, you know what? You're going to need to buy an electric car in the next couple of years. It costs $80,000, and then you got to pay for the electric bill after that, and you can only drive about 10 minutes before it falls apart. But it's going to be great, isn't it? Because your great-great-great-grandkids will have, the temperature won't rise 0.3 degrees for them. Right? You know, and look, frankly, Phil, I'm always a little chilly anyway. So, you know, whatever.
I look for the electric vehicle market to crater in the days to come. But government subsidies are going away,
green,
fellas.
Green energy stocks, I don't know if you saw green energy.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm speaking tongue-in-cheek here. But look, it's a radio show, and we're trying to have fun. We're celebrating a Trump victory. But green energy stocks did tumble.
They did.
In the last couple of days. And the reason is because we're going to open up oil and drill, baby, drill. And that's how you get prices down. Every single thing that we buy, and you know this, Phil, has an oil price attached to it. And every time the price of oil goes up, so does every good you buy. It's more expensive for you to go to work. It's more expensive to take your kids to school, to buy a sweater, to have, you know, Amazon deliver stuff to your door. The prices of those goods go up because it costs more money to deliver them to you or to go get them or have them delivered to Publix or whatever it might be. So when gas goes down, prices go down. Tell inflation
works.
Funny
how that
works. It's economics 101. Yeah, it's amazing, right? And nobody in the federal government right now can apparently read the econ book that I read at Notre Dame that said, hey, the cheaper the price of X, the cheaper the price of X plus 2, right? I mean, I'm so excited for President Trump. I'm so excited for the first thing I thought of at 3:30 in the morning when I woke my family up to tell him Trump was what he won was my daughter. I thought, hey, you know what, honey, you're going to live in a world of freedom because, damn it, we
Absolutely.
Fought for it and Absolutely. We're going to continue to fight for it.
By God. There it is.
Yep.
Well, brother, next time have a Red Bull or something to wake yourself up before you come on my show, all right?
Hey, I'm pumped up, man. Call me next week when I'm in a morass again, right?
Oh, so, no worries.
This is great.
Hey, J-Town, Sipper Fi. We'll see you, bro.
Hoorah. Thank you.
All right. That was fun. Well, did we even talk about legal stuff? I don't know that we did.
Maybe briefly.
Maybe we covered the fact that he's a lawyer and then we went on to other stuff. But you know what the bottom line is? Lawfare is nowhere. Lawfare was nowhere to begin with. Lawfare was a tactic that the left used, and they used it just ad nauseum, but they also used it in such a way that I think that the American people saw it, and they said, screw y'all, we're voting for Trump. And that's exactly what happened, and it should have happened. It was the greatest jury verdict that could have ever been rendered, and there you have it. Lawfare nowhere. I'm moving on to the next dipper. Let's take a break there, my friend. JP's taking us out. I'm going to break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right, and we will be back.